where we can get away from maddening crowds, where we can get away from the madness of society, get away from TV and radio and news and politics and finances and everything that takes our focus and our attention off of you. Heavenly Father, work in us that we would, with repentant joy, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to see the privilege of receiving your Son, our Lord and Savior, who gave his all for us. Heavenly Father, preserve us from taking Jesus for granted, and help us today and always marvel in the mystery of his birth, the mystery of his death and resurrection, the mystery of his second coming, the mystery and the reality that our sins are forgiven and our name is written in the book of heaven, all because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 333.
Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit as it's found in our bulletin insert.
Shower, O heavens, from
let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together our gradual as appointed in the bulletin.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
The epistle is from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia and the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the sermon hymn 384, "Of the Father's Love Begotten," 384.
beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Who is Jesus? That's the question before us tonight. It's really the question before every person every day, isn't it? Who is Jesus? We're not taking a Barna or Gallup poll here. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus for you? The first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, the great prologue to the Gospel of John, are before us during our Advent season. The first 5 verses tonight beg the question, who is Jesus? There are lots of people who have many and various opinions about Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Over the last 6 months or so, during the presidential election and everything leading up to it, there was a lot of religion in the news. Is someone a good Catholic or a not so good Catholic? Can someone be a Christian who spends more time on the golf course than in church? A lot of questions, and it was really interesting to see how the reporters handled the topic of Jesus. It was very clear that most of the journalists who were doing the reporting had no clue who Jesus is according to the Christian faith. My friends, this should not surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us, but it should bother us when people are to ask questions or speak authoritatively on a topic that they haven't researched and they certainly don't believe. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The situation, as John is writing his first gospel, was very similar to the situation we have now. People had many and various opinions with regard to Jesus. Who is he? What is he? There were many people who taught that Jesus was a real person. A real historical person. But that's all he was. A man. A human being. A human being who was a good teacher. A human being who was a moral example. A human being who sacrificed himself in love. Dead, buried, end of story. The thought of Jesus being anything more than a human being was laughable. There were others that taught that Jesus was God. God come down to earth. God, who was masking himself as a human being, God who had disguised himself as a human being, but he was God. and God alone. And when he had done his work, he went back to heaven, leaving us a set of rules, regulations, a morality, a way to live. Do you see the similarity in both of these teachings? They all end up with you saving yourself. They all end up with you following someone's example. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, in these first 18 verses of John, teaches us in a nutshell everything we need to know to answer the question, who is Jesus? We've been reviewing in catechism class the second article of the Apostles' Creed. That's why we've been confessing the Apostles' Creed the last several weeks. Luther's meaning to the second article. Perhaps no more beautiful human words have ever been written. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. In one sentence, Luther summarizes the person of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He is true God. He is true man. He is true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity. He is true man, born of the Virgin Mary. He is for me. My Lord, my God, my Savior. Who is Jesus? My friends, when we read the first five verses of John's Gospel, John is attacking all of those who would say that Jesus is merely a mortal, that Jesus is not fully and completely divine. In the beginning was the Word. Seems like a strange way to start. In the beginning. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. John wants us to think about the first words of the Bible. In the beginning. This is about creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. Well, what is this Word? And the Word was with God. Oh, well, that helps. Earlier today, I was with Vicar. Before that, I was with Pastor Moline. I had supper with my wife. We know what it's like to be with someone, right? So the Word was with God. And the Word was God. How can that be? I was with Vicar, but I'm not Vicar. I was with Pastor Moline, but we are two separate people. I was with my wife, and while two become one in holy matrimony, we are still two separate and distinct people. John is teaching us in the most simple language how Jesus, the Word, the Logos, was with God and is God. He's teaching us the mystery of the Holy Trinity. We haven't gotten to the Holy Spirit yet, not in these five verses, but that's coming. One God in three persons, three persons in one God. The Logos, the Word, Jesus, is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, the Word, the Logos, is God. Though it appears to be unbelievable, and it certainly can be puzzling, it is true. You hear that? It appears to be unbelievable and puzzling, but it's true. You can't figure this out by your own reason or your own intellect or your own strength. This must be revealed to you by God the Holy Spirit, and that's exactly what he does in his word. The word, the Logos, was with God, and the word, the Logos, is God. Well, what was he doing? He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. There were some at that time and some today that teach that Jesus is the first created being. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, teaches us that that is nonsense, that is false, that is a lie. Because through the Word, through the Logos, through Jesus, all things were created. Jesus can't be a created being if everything was created through him. And in case you didn't get it, as John states it in a positive way, he turns right around and says the exact same thing in a negative way. Without him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. God the Father speaks the Word, and through the Word, all things come into being. Though it appears to be unbelievable and puzzling, it is true. Remember what Jesus says? I and the Father are one. He's speaking of his divinity. My friends, in order to understand and to answer the question, who is Jesus? We must be sure and certain that what God reveals to us in his Holy Scripture is true. Jesus is true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity. And Jesus is also fully and completely a human being. The two natures of Christ, true God and true man, all at the same time. Again, though it sounds unbelievable and puzzling, it is true. God has revealed it to us. Now, as important as it is to get it straight that Jesus is true God and true man all at the same time, the next question is perhaps more important. So what? What difference does it make? Or why does our Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, have to be true God and true man? My friends, as we prepare for our celebration of Christmas, we can get all caught up with trees and tinsel and package and can we visit or not visit? Can we share a meal or not share a meal? Jesus comes into this world to save sinners from their sin. He comes into this world to save you from your sin. Our Savior has to be fully man, a human being, so he can suffer and die in our place on Calvary's cross. Our Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, has to be fully God so that he can rise from the dead, overcome sin, death, and the grave for you and me and the life of the world. The two natures of Christ is the cornerstone of our salvation. Without the two natures of Christ, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. John goes on. In him, the Word, the Logos, Jesus, in him was life. Now, of course, if all things were created through him, then Jesus is the source of life, of course. But that's not what John is talking about here. He's not talking about the life that all living things share. He's talking about life, true life, eternal life, everlasting life. Life that has been earned by his bloody death and glorious resurrection. Life that is a gift that we apprehend by grace through faith. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God, who is pure light, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, gives this light and life to you. You could say that you are enlightened by Jesus. We're talking here about the gift of faith. And then John makes a subtle, stark contrast. He says, the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the same way that God said, let there be light, and light shattered the darkness, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, that light shatters the darkness of this sin-filled world. Are you, by your confession of who Jesus is, are you a child of the light or a child of the darkness? The light, Jesus, shines in the darkness. The darkness has not and cannot nor will it ever overcome the light. The stone-cold body of Jesus was placed in a tomb. Darkness ruled. But on that first Easter, Jesus rose from the dead, the light of the world shining brightly forever, and the darkness of sin, death, and the grave cannot and never will contain that light and life, Jesus Christ. The light and life of Jesus through the forgiveness of sins goes out into the entire world. That's good news, right? But many, many prefer the darkness. My friends, we live in a world of darkness. Sin, death, the grave, the devil, the world, and our flesh. They are all about the darkness. And so God sends forth people of the light, preachers of the light, to shine this light into a dark world. Adam and Eve were given the promise of the Savior who would come into the world, and they passed that on. They passed that on to their son, Seth. That light, that life, that message, that word goes forth. It goes forth through Noah, through the faithful sons of Noah, Shem and Japheth. It goes forth through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It goes forth through all the prophets until we get to the greatest of all prophets, John the Baptist, verse 6. Their message is always the same, pointing people to the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made, who has given you light and life. So here we sit, the first Wednesday in Advent, remembering the promises that God made in sending His Son Jesus, rejoicing in the fact that He continues to come to us in word and sacrament, looking forward to the day when Jesus comes again in power and might and glory. And yet the world is consumed with darkness. What darkness has enveloped you? What darkness is robbing you of your hope and your joy and your life? What darkness is swallowing you up to the point where it doesn't seem like there is a God or there could ever be any hope? Is it the darkness of politics or pandemic? Is it the darkness of doubt or apathy? Is it the darkness of family issues or finances or 100 other things that Satan can use to try to pull the wool over your eyes and your faith? My friends, hear God's word. For you, the Word, Jesus Christ, was with God in the beginning. The Word is God. You were created through the powerful Word of God. And this Word has brought you life and light. No matter what darkness is enveloping you, the darkness cannot overcome the light. Jesus Christ is crucified for you. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead for you. Jesus Christ, the Word, will never leave you nor forsake you. That, my friends, is who Jesus is. That is life and light forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, and our light in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess the faith. This evening we use the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 159 in our hymnal. Please stand as you're able. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit, so that all who profess themselves Christian may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Help us to understand who your Son Jesus is and why he comes down this Advent season to save us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Teach us that all the time through your holy word. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel who preach that word and upon the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace that they may please you in all things. Behold in mercy all of those who are in authority over us. Behold in mercy all of those elected to serve in various offices. Supply all of them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation, that you would make known your ways among us. Preserve all of those who travel. Satisfy the wants of your creatures, and help those who call upon you in any need, that they may have patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Be especially with those from our own congregation who need your care and your provision, especially those whom we name in our hearts. Heavenly Father, watch over us this Advent season. Grant us faith that always looks eagerly for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We sing the offertory, page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
body of Christ given for you. Welcome to the Lord's table.
Take and drink of the true love and the same Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ.
Come, the Lord's table.
We have you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ,
give you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165.
Lord, let your servant go in peace. Your word
Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 338.
Eternal word for you and for your salvation. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes on the way in, make sure you grab a set on the way out. All the activities and events, calendar for the days and weeks ahead, all the way through the end of the year, are listed there. This is the first of three Advent services where we'll focus on John 1:1-18. Next week, we'll also, at the beginning of our service, take a few moments for the questioning for our catechumens. 2 weeks from tonight, the special music will be provided by our children. That'll be our replacement for our Christmas program this year. It'll be the Order of Vespers with the kids singing, congregation together. Should be a great time and a fun night as well. No Advent meals this year. Hopefully things will settle down and we'll be able to talk about meals during the Lenten season. Easter is very early this year, so we'll see how that all plays out. We start a new mission focus for the month, and our missionary focus for the month of December is Pastor David Preuss in the Dominican Republic. Pastor David Preuss in the Dominican Republic. He's been here before. We've had newsletters out before. Keep him in your prayers, and your financial support would be a great blessing as well. Choir now up in the balcony. We're still hoping to get a Wednesday evening after church Bible study started. Probably won't be until after the first of the year. Lifelight Bible study tomorrow on Jude, 1 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. What am I forgetting, Pastor? Get it all? Have a great day and week and life in the light of Jesus Christ.